We're joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for SI.com. He's the host of the Open Floor podcast. He is a jungle legend. He currently is live in Las Vegas, staying in Las Vegas for his 10th summer league. And there have been some wacky, weird things going on in Vegas. Ben Gulliver joins us. Ben, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, it's always good to talk to you, but especially after last night. We had like 2 hours of thunderstorms, got flash flood warnings. It was the end times out here in Vegas, so it's great to be alive and speaking with you.
Dude, how weird was that? Seriously, take me through that. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it wasn't as bad as about 4 years ago when I had my entire, like half my car was submerged in water just driving down the street. I thought I was going to have to, you know, hop out like it was a rowboat and just swim for it, but... every once in a while, you get, you know, a month's worth of rain in about an hour period, and unfortunately, that was last night.
All right, so Ben, you're already a legend here in the jungle, but to show up today the way you did on short notice is amazing. Other than that, and again, this is the 10th time you've done this, other than that, how are you enjoying your time in Vegas this time around?
No, I'm enjoying it. The rookie class to me this year, it was an interesting group because there were so many big men, and everyone knows in the NBA, like, how important are the bigs and what kind of style of big do you want to draft, and, like, are they even that valuable? And I think a lot of the pre-draft analysis was sort of just kind of poo-pooing them, you know, kind of putting them down a little bit. And my takeaway from watching these guys is there's a lot of talent. I mean, you've got a nice little wave of big guys here who are coming into the NBA. Obviously, it starts with DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick, but Jaren Jackson Jr. has just got an incredible NBA body for Memphis. I think he's going to be a nice player for them. I think the Bulls got a steal with Wendell Carter Jr. I mean, this guy is just unbelievably cerebral. I mean, he kind of carries himself like he's already 35 years old, even though he's still a teenager. You just got a bunch of these young big men who I think are going to force teams to, you know, maybe change their style of play here in a couple of years. It's just a nice wave.
Ben Gulliver joining us. You know, Ben, these are all really key points, and I want to get into a little bit more of that in just one moment, but I'm still fascinated by the whole concept of the Vegas Summer League, and some people just don't get it. Some people don't get it. They complain about it. They whine about it. You've been going there for quite some time. How has that league changed and grown since you first started going?
Well, when I was first going, they would actually get busloads of elementary school kids. They'd give them free tickets. They'd put them up in the rafters because they couldn't, you know, they didn't really fill the gym. They just tell these kids to scream the entire game. So there would be action on the floor, and it wouldn't matter what was actually happening. You'd have these kids shrieking up in the top just so they could, you know, basically fill up the seats. But now it's crazy, Jim. I mean, they got all 30 teams here. They have all these different meetings and, you know, associated, you know, business dealings going on around the actual event. It's nationally televised, a whole bunch of the games, you know, whether it's ESPN, NBA TV. You've got, you know, big-time players showing up, you know, dropping in courtside. You know, whether it's a Giannis or Alonzo Ball, those guys have kind of been coming through and watching their younger teammates take place. And to me, it really just kind of parallels the rise of everybody wanting to be a draft expert, right? Like the mock draft culture, you know, scouting these guys since they're like, you know, sometimes in like middle school or early high school. I mean, Summer League has sort of become that showcase, kind of like an extended, you know, McDonald's All-America game where you put all these guys who have been playing against each other, you know, throughout their youth. You put them in NBA uniforms, you put them on national TV, and it's a bunch of head-to-head matchups. You know, a great example is like DeAndre Ayton versus Mo Bamba. I mean, these are two, you know, seven-footers, you know, super long, you know, really, you know, potential stars in the making, you know, coming down the road. Those guys are going head-to-head yesterday on national TV. And look, they're playing for the Phoenix Suns and the Orlando Magic, two teams that have been pretty irrelevant in the NBA over the last few years. But there was an awful lot of interest in that game because those guys represent the hope, right? This is the guys who could potentially lead teams that have had a really tough time in recent years, you know, back into the playoff mix, you know, somewhere, you know, down the line. So it's become much more professional. You know, I think for people like me, I loved it back when it was smaller and maybe a little bit less organized and you know, a little goofier. But it's great to see the event grow so large.
Ben Gulliver joining us. You know, you mentioned Mo Bamba and DeAndre Ayton. God, I love both these guys, Ben. They both have so much it. DeAndre Ayton came on the program yesterday. I'm blown away by the way this guy carries himself at that age. Is there any doubt in your mind that he's going to be a star on the next level?
I think he's got a chance to be a star. You know, the questions that I have with him is more defensive impact, right? Because I mentioned this earlier with how is the center position evolving, and it's very tough to be like a big time scorer as a center if you can't shoot the three ball. Like, look at guys like Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. A lot of their scoring now, it comes from that 3-point range, and I'm not sure that's necessarily Ayton's game right now. he does like the mid-range shot, and that's a helpful tool, but a lot of what he's going to try to do offensively is around the basket. So what I want to see from him is that big-time defensive impact. Can he become like a DeAndre Jordan type of guy or Clint Capella type of guy where you can build a defense around his ability to just man the paint, grab the defensive rebounds, block a lot of shots, help out his teammates when they get beaten off the dribble? That's what I want to see from DeAndre Ayton. But I think if you're trying to handicap the rookie of the year race, for example, he's got to be right near the top of that list, Jim, because his body, I mean, it's just, he has a man's body. You put him side by side with Bamba, he looks like 3 or 4 years older than in Bamba in terms of his muscle definition, his strength. I've seen people compare his body to like David Robinson. I mean, he is a really, really strong, big dude, and he already pops against the players at this level, this summer league level, just because of his physique.
We're talking to Ben Golver, and they're doubling him already, but I think he made key points. I mean, like, when I look at him, I see star quality, but you're right. Defensively, whether or not he can step out and shoot that three, these are all question marks. Ben, what about the Rockets? They lose Trevor Ariza to the Suns, Luke Mbamute to the Clippers in free agency. According to reports, they're very interested in Carmelo Anthony. Given what they lost in Trevor and Luke, is Melo the answer?
I don't think so. I mean, of those three players, if I'm Houston and I'm trying to take down Golden State, and we know that they're obsessed with Golden State, I think I would have Melo ranked third. And I realize he's not nearly as famous as Ariza or Mbamute, but he doesn't do the things that Houston needed. They needed a Kevin Durant stopper. They needed that natural floor-spacing shooter who doesn't really command attention of the ball or, ball stop and, try to go one-on-one. That's not really how they play around guys like James Harden and Chris Paul, because they already have playmakers to do all of the creation for them. And I guess, the theory would be, well, if you can get Melo into great shape, give him a contender to play for, and maybe he could give you a little bit more firepower. But to me, I thought the Ariza one especially hurt, because you remember Mbamute was injured during the Western Conference Finals, and he really didn't have much of an impact. But Trevor Ariza was a very, very important player for them, very key for their matchups on the perimeter. And to lose a guy like that, it's a big step backward for Houston. And for Golden State, like, how lucky can these guys get? Not only do they sign DeMarcus Cousins for peanuts, but their number one competitor from last season, takes two pretty big rotation blows with Ariza and Mbamute.
That's my thing, too. Ben Golver joining us for another moment or so. Ben, as you pointed out, Kyrie Irving did not want to play with LeBron, and Paul George did not want to play with LeBron. And now there's the suggestion that Kawhi Leonard would rather be with the Clippers than the Lakers, now that LeBron's with the Lakers. Now all three of these guys are unique guys, I'll grant you that. Is there any question in your mind about LeBron's ability to recruit going forward?
I think there is, Jim. I mean, remember back in 2014, he just snaps his fingers and Kevin Love just shows up in Minnesota. He makes like one phone call, boom, here's Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins. Or you remember the famous stories about how him, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, they came together during USA Basketball and sort of plotted this master plan. Jim, my question is, does it count as a master plan if, their big three, it's like him, Rondo, and Lance Stephenson? That doesn't sound like a master plan to me. That sounds like LeBron wanting to play in L.A. on his own terms, and then the Lakers trying to fill in whoever they can around the edges. And there's legitimate reasons why guys wouldn't maybe want to play with him. Number one, there's an awful lot of pressure and an awful lot of scrutiny if you're on LeBron's team, and he's almost always going to get the credit, and he's rarely going to get the blame. And if you're a teammate of his, you're rarely going to get the credit, and you're often going to get the blame. And I think that kind of wears on guys a little bit. He also has the ball in his hands a lot. And for a guy like Kyrie, I could easily see why, Boston would be a more attractive scenario. Now, the Paul George situation, to me, it's still confusing. I still think he should have gone to L.A. That made more sense in terms of a fit. I think the Lakers would have been better with Paul George than the Thunder are going to be with Paul George this year. But I think for LeBron, next summer is going to be the big litmus test, because we saw what happened with Kobe and the Lakers, right? After he came back from that Achilles, their ability to kind of recruit anybody else really evaporated. It was just the Kobe show. It got to a situation where it was a little bit too much of the cult of personality, and I think the Lakers need to stay away from that. This can't just be the LeBron show or the LeBron reality TV show. If they want to challenge Golden State, they need to put other big-time stars around LeBron. LeBron needs to be able to convince a guy like Kawhi Leonard to come to L.A. He needs to get back into that recruiting mode that made him so famous earlier in his career. Otherwise, we're going to talk about a team that's just good, but not truly great.
He covers the NBA brilliantly. for SI.com. He is the host of the Open Floor Podcast. He is a jungle legend, and he is in Vegas for his 10th Summer League. Ben Golver on short notice showing up and owning it like that. Ben, can't tell you how much I respect it and appreciate it. Thanks so much, Ben. Great job.
Thank you, Jim. Take care, man.
You're the best. He is so good. Ben Golver is so good.